Listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. It's Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunnath Chish, Hawa Tuksik Newsom, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us behind the scenes via our live stream on YouTube at kto.org/JPMLive. Or on KTOO's Facebook page. Today, the Juno Symphony is on the move. They will hold a concert this weekend in Juno, but also in Sitka for the first time in 13 years. We get all the notes on this weekend's festivities. Weaver Lily Hope is giving a presentation, Experiencing Prosperity as an Alaska Native Artist, next Tuesday, April 8th. We talk with Lily about what's in store. UAS Student Activities is here with a variety of upcoming events, including a Folk Fest concert before the Folk Fest this Saturday night. And Phil from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council is here with updates on First Friday and more. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com. A couple quick announcements before we begin today. Firstly, you're invited to Brews with the News at Devil's Club Brewing downtown this Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Stop by to catch up with the KTOO news reporters and hosts, to ask questions, share tips, or just to chat about current events. They'll have some snacks to share, and non-alcoholic options are available as well. That's tomorrow from 5 to 6 p.m. at Devil's Club. And Folk Fest is around the corner, kicking off next week on Monday, April 7th. Juno Afternoon will have two bonuses for you next week. An extra show on Tuesday, April 8th at 3 p.m. with some really cool guests that day, so you want to tune in. And then on Friday, April 11th, a special show downstairs in the big studio. And you are invited to join us. It's an open audience invite, and we ask you to arrive by 2:45 as the show will go live at 3 p.m. on the radio and on YouTube. And it will feature the guest dance band for the Folk Festival, Deke Dickerson's Western Swing All-Stars. So wear your dancing shoes. That's Friday, April 11th, right here downstairs at KTOO, a Juno Live with an audience. Listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. You can also join us behind the scenes here in the studio on KTOO's YouTube and Facebook pages. Well, the Juno Symphony is on the move. Their spring concert is happening this weekend, but with only one show in Juno since they will be traveling to Sitka for the first time in 13 years. Also, the third of four music director candidates leads this weekend's festivities. I'm joined by Charlotte Truitt, executive director. Gunnath Chish for being here. Wasi T. Charlotte, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having us.
Excellent. And I also have Brad Hograth, who is the third candidate for the music director position at the Symphony. Gunnath Chish, welcome to Juno. Wasi T. How are you?
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Awesome. That's so good. Well, it's a pleasure to have you both in the studio today. Well, Charlotte, we have to start with, What's this going to Sitka business?
Oh, well, this is a great opportunity for us to bring the communities together. You know, the Juno Symphony Board really wanted to reach out in the region and be more neighborly. You know, it's been 13 years since we were over in Sitka, so we began discussion with Roger Schmidt and Sitka Fine Arts Camp, and they really were very enthusiastically supportive and wanting us to come. And so we're like, okay, we can make this happen. So we started a couple years ago in planning, and here we are, finally. We're going to go there and back again to Juneau, and we're very excited.
Okay, so give me the details on, because normally your concert is like on Saturday night and Sunday here in Juneau, but right. This weekend it's a little different. So tell us the breakdown of how it's all working.
So this Sunday will be our only show, and it will be at 3 o'clock, our normal start time. We'll also have Brad for a pre-concert talk at 2 p.m., so it's one show only. I can let people know the auditorium is filling up fast with just one performance, so get those tickets soon. And in order to accommodate the crowd, we found some extra parking. We're going to have parking available at the corner of Egan and 10th, and shuttle service available thanks to our friends at the Alaska Cruise Line Agency. So don't worry about parking. Just get your tickets and come on down and enjoy a big crowd for an amazing performance of real crowd-pleasing music.
Awesome. And then tell me about the Sitka time in case people are listening. Where would they get tickets and stuff in Sitka?
For Sitka, you go to Sitka Fine Arts Camp for your ticketing, and it will happen on Friday night at 7 o'clock at the Sitka Performing Arts Center.
Okay, great. All right, so that's a couple of performances. So there's a day off in between because you're traveling, right? Is that why
happening? We're taking Allen Marine Catamaran, so we chartered it so that we could make the schedule work. We go over tomorrow, and then tomorrow evening will be a rehearsal, the Friday concert, and then we come back on Saturday.
I love it. You call it there and back again, because that's really kind of fun. So, and all the details are, of course, at JunoSymphony.org, where you can get your tickets for the concert here and or details on how to get the tickets in Sitka if you want to pass that along to your friends out there in the universe over in Sitka.
Yeah.
And are you taking the whole symphony?
The entire symphony, yes. We have, there'll be 64 individuals performing with our guest soloists and Brad and and then we're taking over 40 Juneau Symphony supporters as
wow.
well.
This is a thing.
This is a thing, yeah. It's a big darn deal.
I love it. I love it. That's so good. And Brad, you're leading this whole thing. Welcome to Juneau.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit. You're the third in the music director candidate. We've had the other two on as well, and I'm sure we'll have the fourth on when we get to May. You have a little less of a wait than the first two who were here and to find out what's happening. I feel for that first person. Mm-hmm. It's just a long time to wait.
Long time.
But you're the third candidate, and I think we talked with the previous candidates, but you didn't choose this program, right?
Yeah, correct. But I was very excited whenever this was chosen as sort of the match. It's always a challenge to find dates that work, but I was so excited that this one worked out. I have spent the last 10 years going to Sitka, actually once a year, playing and conducting the Holiday Brass Concert there. So I love Southeast Alaska, and I was just thrilled that this was the one that I got to conduct.
That's awesome. And didn't the brass come over here this year?
Yes. I didn't get to perform in that one, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. I think you were on for that, right? Because that was one of the first partnerships with you and Roger there from the Sitka Fine Arts Camp. Mm-hmm. Awesome organization over there in Sitka. Mm-hmm. So glad to see that you're all partnering with that. So, okay, Brad, for those who may not have read your bio yet or may not be able to make the concert this weekend, tell us a little bit about – I was looking – you have like three jobs already, right? You have three positions that – I know that music directors hold multiple positions, but tell us where you're based and what you've been doing currently.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm a conducting professor at SF State University. I also conduct a bit at the conservatory there. I'm the music director of the Peninsula Youth Orchestra, which is a lovely high school youth orchestra near San Francisco. And I'm also the music director of an organization called the Art House Collective. We do fully staged ballets actually out at Burning Man and do really creative, wild collaborations with great art installations and things. And then I'm also the associate conductor of the Monterey Symphony, which is a sort of a regional orchestra in the Monterey Bay there.
Wow. That's a lot. Yeah. So what is the idea of adding Juno to the resume? How did this come about?
Yeah, so again, I love being in Southeast Alaska. I've gotten to come up for these concerts every year, and I love coming up. So that's kind of was the start of it. Being a musician, your career tends to look more like tapas than, like a big entree sort of. So, all of these, I sort of love all these different orchestras and communities. It's really nice to sort of, most of mine are pretty close to home, but it's nice to have one to get on a plane and go somewhere different.
Yeah absolutely. Okay. That's going to be so fun. Okay, so tell us a little bit about this program that we're going to be hearing on Sunday here in Juneau. On April 6th at 3 p.m., we're talking with the Juneau Symphony about their There and Back Again concert, heading over to Sitka, but then coming back here for a Sunday concert, one only, as opposed to the two that they usually do. So what's on the docket?
Yeah, it's a totally like blockbuster program. So yeah. We're going to open with the end, sort of the most familiar part of the William Tell Overture, sort of that famous fanfare that you've heard from everywhere, from like Looney Tunes to the Lone Ranger, that just to get the party started. And then we wanted to sort of feature a little bit of, Juno's best. So recently, the Juno Lyric Opera did a production of the Flatermouse. Mm-hmm. So we're actually going to do a wonderful, witty, charming aria from that, featuring Kayla, who is the lead in the Juno Lyric Opera production.
Oh, cool.
So just a little taste of that. So if you missed it, this is your chance. And if you heard it and loved it, come back for a little encore. And then to finish out the first half, we've got Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, which is, absolutely iconic.
Wow.
The blockbuster, American piano sort of rhapsody. Emiko Edwards is a fantastic soloist, award-winning, and we are just so lucky and happy to have her out. So that's just the first half. So already just, lots of hits. And then the second half will be Dvorak's Ninth Symphony, the Symphony for the New World, which has been, an absolute cornerstone of the repertoire. Mm. Some of the most famous, beautiful melodies of all time, especially the second movement, Largo, the English horn solo, which is just iconic. Comforting, longing, beautiful, like just all the full.
Yeah, Dvorak's one of my favorite composers for sure.
Yeah, it's just an incredible piece. And it's just, it's one that sort of reflects both like, the European classical tradition of symphonies, but incorporates all the things that he was so excited about in America. And it's, you can see landscapes, you can hear, different musics in it. It's just, it's gorgeous.
That's really cool. That sounds like an awesome program. Oh, I thought maybe in my brain when I was thinking today, Charlotte, that it was like this was the last concert of the year, but it's not. There's one more at the end of May, right?
That's right.
Okay. And we'll be looking forward to that one as well as to meet the final candidate for the music conductor position. Good luck with that, with your audition this weekend, Brad.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah.
That sounds like it's going to be a blast. And you get the added bonus of getting to go over Sitka, which you're pretty familiar with.
Absolutely. Really looking forward to seeing sort of the Sitka community again.
I love that. Okay, so Charlotte, will you give us one more time the rundown of the performances both in Sitka and here in Juneau?
Okay, so Friday night we're in Sitka at the Sitka Performing Arts Center at 7 p.m. And then Sunday here in Juneau, back at Juneau Douglas High School Auditorium, a 2 p.m. pre-concert talk with Brad, and then 3 p.m. concert. Getting tickets early is encouraged, and we do provide extra parking and shuttle service to help you with having a really wonderful experience of coming to the symphony this Sunday.
I feel like with just the one concert here in Juneau that you really got to get on it.
Yes,
I think
got to get on it.
Especially with this program that Brad just described, that sounds really good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I just looked at the seating chart and it is filling up.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Cool. I love it. It's the Juneau Symphony There and Back Again this weekend here in Sitka and in Juneau. I love it. Thank you so much, Brad. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Enjoy working with the symphony and all those fine folks that play in the band.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Charlotte, nice to see you
again. Good to see you as well.
Gwyneth Cheesh for being here today. Okay, up next, I just wanted to say you could also find everything at junosymphony.org.
That's right.
I always like to plug the website. Up next, we chat with Lily Hope about her talk next week as part of the Sea Alaska Heritage Spring Lecture Series. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. But first, a savory moment.
Step in to the savory moment. Imagine you live on an island in Alaska. It's peaceful here. No freeways, no commute, just the ocean and the splendor of snow-capped mountains. And there's plenty of local seafood. Waiting for the other shoe to drop? There you go. Because in your island fantasy, you also get to imagine no Whole Foods, no Trader Joe's, not even a Safeway. There are a couple of medium-sized grocery stores, though everything there is delivered by barge or airplane. Groceries here are expensive and at times scarce. As a cook on Fantasy Island, this is what you'll do. You'll become best friends with parsley. You'll learn to appreciate, even adore, its subtle flavor of earth and black pepper, not to mention its glossy, garnish-worthy leaves. This fresh herb is always, well, almost always, on the shelf, and it's affordable. Lemons. You'll acquire them like it really is possible to buy happiness. You'll zest them down to the nubbin and rest out every last drop of juice. When you're done with those lemons, it's gonna look like an eagle laid an egg in your kitchen compost. Who knows? Maybe it did. As for pine nuts and good Parmesan, yikes. It's time to pal around with bulk walnuts, another essential ingredient in the really delicious, really doable pesto you're gonna make for dinner tonight. Add your parsley and lemons along with salt, fresh garlic, red pepper flakes, and olive oil. Then introduce it to some of that local seafood of yours. Find the full recipe for Fantasy Island Pesto at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
Hansen Gress. Ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin tau ka na khaya ha ane kak. Gunnish cheesh.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Next Tuesday, April 8th, at the Walter Soboleff Building in downtown Juno, artist and weaver Lily Hope will give a talk entitled Experiencing Prosperity as an Alaska Native Artist. It's part of the Sea Alaska Heritage's Spring Lecture Series on Professional Northwest Coast Art Practices. And Lily joins me in studio now, one of our favorite guests on Juno Afternoon, Gunnath Cheesh, Ayi Gudi. Thank you so much, Lily. It's a pleasure to have you in here. Wasiti, how you doing?
Oh, my goodness, I'm doing great. Thanks so much, Boston, for having me.
I love that. And always working, always weaving, always making something.
Uh-huh. My hands are moving as we're talking.
I love that. That's so good. So let's talk about this talk. And you were also telling me just before we went on air that it's going to be at an earlier time. Usually, I think their talks are usually at noon, but this one's a little bit earlier.
It is. We're doing this from 10:15 to 11:15 Alaska Standard Time so that there are high school students from Juneau and Klawak and other communities who can tune in on the YouTube live stream through Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's YouTube and then drop comments, Q&As, what they want to know more about.
Oh, that's nice. So people can actually, they'll be able to actually ask you questions mm-hmm. virtually.
Mm-hmm. And any person gets to tune in if they go to Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's YouTube and, you know, right around 10:15 on Tuesday, April 8th.
Anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world, as long as you coordinate your time zone. If you're
right,
in Paris,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Might and be 2 a.m.
That's right. But we always seem to be the earliest of wherever anybody is,
I know.
Don't we?
I mean,
it's either that or it's the next day for people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of wild.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave a title of what it's going to be called, Experiencing Prosperity as an Alaska Native Artist. What does that mean for you?
I named this lecture, right?
Okay.
They said, what do you want to talk about? And I said, this is it. Because prosperity isn't about dollars necessarily. It is. When we think about prosperity, we're like, oh, I have enough money to eat and pay for my rent and all this kind of stuff. But prosperity is also about physical health, about free time, that on a Wednesday when it's sunny in Juneau, I have the flexibility to go hang at the beach with my kids. That's prosperity, where I'm not locked into a 9-to-5 or a 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. job. That's how long artists usually work, you know, 5 a.m. to 11 p.m., somewhere in there. The prosperity is not just about being able to pay your bills.
Mm-hmm.
It's about community connection. It's about who are we supporting in our work. It's about friendships and love. It's about rich connection. So prosperity is not just dollars, y'all.
And do you find that with that freedom sometimes comes, like you said, you know, the sort of the joke about working from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., but because you don't have locked in hours, and we have talked previously on the show about how long it takes to, let's say, make a blanket or to make a, you know, anything that you work on, it can take months and hundreds of hours and thousands of hours. And so even though you're not in like a 9-to-5, 8-hour kind of position, do you find that you're always thinking about things then? Like in terms of you never stop.
You never stop. Well, I don't know when you stop. Maybe you stop when you're sleeping, but then you can also fall asleep with that, you know, solve this for me, or how do I get this color, or why isn't this shape shaping out? And you can let your muses in your sleep, you know, work that out for you. So the prosperity comes through all sorts of forms. But we don't ever stop. I mean, I like to say that I work 11 days a week or 27 hours a day, because even when I'm out on the water with my children or walking in the woods, that's oftentimes when the greatest, you know, inspirations come.
So what happens, like, because is it five children?
I have five children.
Five children.
I don't recommend it.
Especially if you want to be an artist, maybe.
it's going to be really great in like 30 years.
Yeah.
When everybody makes a dish for Thanksgiving or whatever isn't Thanksgiving by then, please.
What's the range of the kids right now?
Youngest is 7 and can read their own bedtime stories. And the eldest is 17 and is inches from driving themselves.
Okay. So you still have sort of everyone in the house.
Oh, yes. Everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's really curious to manage that with, you know, also doing all, because you are one of the busiest people I know in terms of your commitments and the things that you do.
Real.
And so this talk, I guess, will you also go into that a little bit in terms of like the balance of how you get everything together?
Oh, yeah. There's no balance. It's complete chaos. And you cannot do it alone, right? We raise our children in a village. Well, in the Juneau community, we're, you know, are we technically, what do you call that, rural?
Mm.
But I'm fortunate, and that's the prosperity part, is to make choices of, you know, I'm not going to take my kids on a vacation. I'm going to have nanny support, or I'm going to have, you know, Saturday evening support. So that's all part of the whole lecture that you get to hear on April 8th,
April 8th,
10:15 in the morning.
Next Tuesday, so just early next week, it's at 10:15 in the morning, and you can watch on YouTube, but you can also be there live.
You
Will it be in the Klan House there at the Walter Soboleff Building?
Inside the Shukahit Klan House, inside the Walter Soboleff Building.
Yeah, it's a wonder. That is a beautiful space.
Space.
It's like one of the best spaces probably in the world, in my opinion.
It smells great still, too.
Yeah, it's so nice in there. And you can find out more about all of these lecture series at Sea Alaska Heritage's website, SeaAlaskaHeritage.org. They have information on the lecture series. Or I also noticed that Sea Alaska's Facebook page is very active, and they keep everything really up to date there on all the things that are coming up, because I believe there's another in the lecture series a couple days after you on Friday.
Yep.
And so people can find out more information about those talks on Sea Alaska Heritage's Facebook page, which is really kind of cool. So tell me, what is going on with you outside of the lecture?
Oh,
what do we have to look
goodness.
Forward to in terms of, I know you've got something planned.
so many huge things, Boston. It's never ending. Thankfully, I'm not curating a summer show. That was a beautiful couple summers in a row. I might be creating a Chilkat blanket out of 100% mountain goat.
Whoa.
And it might parallel one that is also going to be created with Sea Alaska Heritage Institute that I don't have to mentor anyone through. They're going to put out an RFP. This has already been endorsed to go live, but Sea Alaska Heritage Institute is going to release a request for proposals sometime later this fall to ask for mentor artists who can mentor numbers of students through processing mountain goat, spinning that fiber with cedar, weaving a Chilkat blanket. And the story is that one of these blankets, you know, the one created by Sea Alaska Heritage, will live here in Southeast Alaska to be used in ceremony, to be used culturally. And the one that I'm creating is for a museum down in Arkansas, for the Crystal Bridges Museum, and that is going to become a cultural ambassador. And the joy of co-creating these, you know, parallel blankets or these sibling blankets, if you were, and sending one south and having it, you know, go out and speak for us, it's pretty powerful storytelling.
Wow.
I'm grateful to be in good graces with Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, and Rosita Worrell made me cry. She gave me a quote for the press release. And anyway, just
what
really
was the
fortunate.
Quote? Can you share the quote?
Oh my gosh. Something like, it started with a whole bunch of tears because she said, my grandmother, Jenny Clanat, and Lily's late mother, Clarissa Rizal, master weavers, and the ancestral weavers who've come before are so proud of the work that she's doing, even doing her own work, caring for her children. You know, the dedication and mentoring of other people is felt throughout generations.
Oof.
And it's one thing to do the work and to show up every day. And it's another thing to have somebody who's in a really high position to say, I see you. Mm. I see the sacrifices you're making. So, yeah. Thanks.
Why
do
you make me cry, Lily?
I know. Hey, I'm not crying. You're crying.
You're
like
crying.
Everybody else
I'm
is crying.
I'm not crying.
If my voice breaks, like that's the actor trick, right?
Right.
Like my tears aren't allowed to fall. Y'all's are.
Right, right, mm-hmm. right. Yeah, but, that's amazing. That's a great quote. That's
yeah.
really, really special.
It was.
Yeah, that's yeah. You were paraphrasing maybe a little bit,
right,
but it was still the mm-hmm. sentiment there though is
yeah.
amazing because there is such a history and ancestry behind what you
right.
do.
It was the first time I realized that Rosita Worrell, Dr. Rosita Worrell, and I are like fully interwoven families, right?
Mm.
Jenny Clanat was my mother's mentor, and mm. here I am carrying on my mother's work. So, like, just thanks, Dr. Worrell, for reminding me. Just wow. But that's not all. Of course, I have to do something else because I'm no longer working at the University of Alaska Southeast. That's a whole other story.
Oh, no.
But I'm. I just started the Northwest Coast Textile Center.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a nonprofit that is inches from being 501c3 status. And we are going to hold space and go big for Ravensteel and Chilkat weavings and textiles on the Northwest Coast.
That's amazing. We'll have to have you back to talk about
I
that because that's
when we
a
figure
huge
it all out.
Project. That sounds unbelievable. And of course, why not take on more, right?
I don't need sleep.
But for now, everyone needs to tune in next Tuesday, April 8th at 10:15 Alaska time. You can watch on the Sea Alaska YouTube page, or you can show up at the Walter Soboleff building in downtown Juneau and hear Lily talk. Her title is Experiencing Prosperity as an Alaska Native Artist. It's part of the spring lecture series on professional Northwest Coast art practices. Lily, good cheese for being here and telling us about it and break a leg on the talk. And of course, with all the other things that you do, it's amazing. I really appreciate you.
Thanks, Boston.
Good cheese. Okay. Oh, and for more on Lily, you can go to www.lilyhope.com.
Real. Yeah. And follow me on Instagram at Lily Hope Weaver.
There you go. Lily Hope Weaver on the Insta. Good cheese.
Take care.
Okay. Up next, the Folk Fest. Before the Folk Fest, happening out at the university. This is Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. That's a little Anna Mahaner from the Rain Dogs. That song is called God. And Anna and the Rain Dogs will be part of an event that is happening out at UAS. We'll get into it. You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. And the University of Alaska Southeast, I think it's the student government, yeah? Or is it the Student Activities Department, Bridget?
Student Activities Board.
They have a few activities planned this week. And Bridget Monks is here to share the details with us. Gwyneth Cheesh, Hot Yugidu, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you come in the studio and be on the radio with us. Yay! How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk about what's going on.
This is awesome that the Student Activities Board is doing so much and bringing this pre-Folk Fest, or I was joking around with the Folk Fest before the Folk Fest event. It's on Saturday night, April 4th.
5th.
April 5th.
Yeah.
4th is Friday. Today's the 2nd. Boy, days are just going by so fast.
It's okay. Sun's out.
It's
Everything
sun's
goes out the brain.
That's right. So it is on Saturday, April 5th, and it's going to be out at UAS. But tell us, how did this come together?
Well, I understand how important Folk Fest is for the community, and a lot of the venues in town are 21 plus, which means that a large population of our students don't get to enjoy some of the bands that play. Obviously, the Centennial Hall does a lot of stuff that's open to everybody, but I wanted to kind of pull in maybe a different type of audience and make sure that all of the gaps were being filled.
Ah, so this is your brainchild.
Yeah.
Is this the first one that's been happening out
there?
Yeah,
this is the first one at UAS.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah,
I know
really
because the something like this is so valuable, like you said, the under 21 crowd.
Exactly.
Because there's so much that happens around Folk Fest at all the bars and everything that people can't get into. I think it's another reason that Taylor Vidic created the Hydrate and Caffeinate, which is over at the Pottery Jungle. That'll be all during the week as well. But this is on Saturday night. And so when you thought of this, what was the first thought that went into your head of like, I want to do this? And then what happened?
And then I wanted to make sure I didn't step on anyone's toes. So I reached out to Folk Fest, like the organizers, and coordinated with them and some of the artists that they had coming. So it was exciting to be able to have more opportunities for the artists to play, especially for a young audience.
Yeah, that's really cool. And so when you decided to do it, was there certain acts that you were already thinking of? I want you to tell us who the acts are going to be. But
yeah, absolutely.
Did you start thinking about, like, who could I get?
Initially, I didn't really think too much about that other than I wanted to make sure that there was something going on at the university and that it would be someone that they wouldn't necessarily be able to access at the Centennial Hall.
I see. Okay. So broadening the artist that would be represented, maybe.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So tell us, like, who's on the docket?
Yeah, of course. Well, the day is going to start at 4, and it's going to begin with a folk swing dance lesson, which is super fun.
I love that.
By Mark Hobson. He's one of our professors of dance. And then it's going to move into Hot Club of Juno. They're pretty popular around town.
What kind of music do they do?
They do kind of like jazz, folk, swing.
Okay.
So it's good. It'll go right from the lesson into a band that's going to play some stuff that's going to be danceable.
That you can use.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, cool. I love that.
Then Slept In, which is an alumni group. They're going to play some acoustic guitar. Then I have June Bunch, who's flying in from Florida. She's an acoustic ukulele player, guitar player, and singer, and she's really talented.
Awesome.
I'm excited for her to come out. Rice Fields is, they're a student band, and I'm super excited to highlight them because they're going to be opening up for Rain Dogs, and they look up to them a lot. So then right after them, Rain Dogs is playing. Everybody knows them around town.
We love them.
Yeah, we do love them. And then Big Sissy is a group of three sisters that sing and play acoustic. And they're coming from the East Coast to finish off the night.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I'm looking at the flyer right now, and it looks like there's from 4 to 10, Mm-hmm. Right? Doors open at 3:30.
Yes.
It's going to be at the rec center, which is the big space across from the main entrance. Right.
Right? And I have the address here, yeah. which is 12300 Mendenhall Loop.
Okay, great. And is there any, like, price?
No, it's free. It's open to the community, all ages. All we're going to ask is that if you're under 18, that you have a parent or a guardian with you.
Okay. All right. If under 18.
Under 18.
Okay. So, but if you're 18 to 21 and you're a college student, this is the thing for you.
Right. Unless you want to bring your parents, and then you can.
I mean, hey, a lot of parents like the folk music too, right?
Definitely. Yeah,
it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it was a big family community event.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. It's the Alaska Airlines Student Concert Series presents the Folk Fest with a bunch of awesome acts. I love that there's going to be a swing dance lesson, too, because we can all use that. Right?
I know. And it's going to be in the gymnasium, so it's going to be a big space for people to kind of just stretch out a little bit, because I know being downtown, sometimes you feel a little cramped.
A little cramped, yeah, especially in those bars and such. So, Bridget, tell me a little bit about You're a student?
No, I am the student engagement and leadership manager.
Okay.
My position had been vacant for about 2 years, so I just stepped into it this past November, and I've been trying my best to get activities and life back onto campus.
I see. So what is your title again? What is
it? Student engagement and leadership manager.
Okay, great. Yes. Are you in that rec center? Is that where you are?
No, I'm out of the Morant building, which is across from Egan in that courtyard.
Okay.
It's like where the cafeteria is.
Okay. And what was your, did you go to UAS or no?
No, I have friends that are alumni. I'm originally from Connecticut, and I came out here as an AmeriCorps and worked for Juno Suicide Prevention Coalition and have since stayed.
And then fell in love with Juno. And
it's hard not to, especially on a day like today. It's very hard not to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's cool to have that kind of position. Is that the kind of work you want to do? Is this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot. I've done some event planning in my nonprofit history. I was working in residential health, like mental health and behavioral health previous, but it's been a nice change.
Gotcha. That's really cool. And I can't, is there other things that you are, I'm just really excited that this event is happening out there.
Yeah, me too.
And I know there's another thing that we want to talk about, because I was going to ask, are there other things happening? And there is, there's something tomorrow.
There's a lot happening. There's something happening tomorrow. It's a ski and climate film festival. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in the rec center, at 5:30, same location. And it's going to be UAS community ski film submissions, so from faculty, staff, and mostly students. So we're going to be highlighting their ski films, or kind of lack thereof, considering the ski season we had.
It was a pretty short, right?
Yeah. And then Todd Anders Johnson is going to come and show us his films Cresta Alta and Northward, and those are about climate change.
Oh, interesting. Do they have skiing in them in some way? Or?
Yes, he does do ski films.
Okay.
And a lot of them take place in mountainous areas, but he's traveled around the world talking about glaciers and the change that's happening worldwide.
I see. And then he's also going to be playing some music?
Yes. He's not doing that at the university, but he's doing that downtown. I'm not sure the details of that event, but he is going to be doing something very similar downtown and also with music.
I see. Okay. So it's nice that he's bringing his films out to the university there, the Climate and Ski Film Festival. And you said there's going to be other student films that people made?
Yeah, so ski films.
Oh, that's
so fun.
Just like
tricks and different things like that. And that one is also open to the community, and it's free with suggested donation to student government.
Awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And that's tomorrow night, April 3rd at 5 p.m. out at the UAS Rec Center.
5:30, yes.
5:30, okay. Yes. I had 5 here in the notes. 5:30, okay. And then the Folk Fest, the pre-Folk Fest, the UAS Folk Fest is happening on Saturday, April 5th. It's from 4 to 10 p.m. out at the Rec Center. And for more information, where do we go to find out more? Are you on the Facebook, or how do people get more details?
So UAS Connect is the main way that the university communicates events, but this is on Facebook.
It is on Facebook. Yes. Okay. How do we search it? Like, is it
on the UAS Connect, the UAS Facebook account?
Oh, this is the regular UAS Facebook account.
Yeah, just the regular one.
I gotcha. Okay. And do you have other big plans, Bridget, for the future?
Well, graduation's the next big event, but I know Traditional Games is going to be having an event on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So the 4th through the 6th at JDHS.
Yes. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we had Kyle and a couple of the student athletes on last week. That was really cool. Yeah. It was really fun. But it's just nice to have somebody back in your position out at the university that can sort of engage the student population, and the idea is you're going to create more events, and you'll be back to tell us more about those later.
Oh, absolutely. I'm super excited.
Yeah. I love it. Stoked. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's Bridget Monks here from University of Alaska Southeast talking about both the film festival happening tomorrow at 5:30 out at the Rec Center and the Folk Fest that is happening out at UAS on Saturday night from 4 to 10. And you can get more information on the UAS Facebook page. Really appreciate you being here today, Gunathcheesh.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Bridget. Okay, up next, First Friday and Beyond with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakl'at Florence Mark Shakely. And the word this week is gaok.
Gaok.
That means herring eggs. And here is a sentence. It is getting difficult for people to get herring eggs. Let's hear it again.
Gaok.
Herring eggs. Gunathcheesh to Chene Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kakashat Florence Mark Shakely is Shukach Adi and a child of a Chukanidi man. She grew up on Mark's trail in a family that used Tlingit as the primary language and were involved in documenting, teaching, and publishing in Tlingit. She has taught the language at all levels and has served as the teacher of teachers in the Juneau area for decades now.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
For KTOO, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Wednesday, April 2nd. Sunrise was at 6:20 this morning. Sunset will be at 7:42. A total of 13 hours, 21 minutes, and 30 seconds of daylight today. A gain of 5 minutes and 5 seconds over yesterday. And on this day, back in 1927, it was reported that the city clerk, H.R. Shepherd, had presented the city council with a financial statement for the year ended March 31st. The city had a cash balance of $5,332.90 and is absolutely free of debt. That's a look back at this day in 1927 in Juneau. This is KTOO.
And that's Mike Lane. You can join Mike every morning as the morning edition host here on KTOO Monday through Friday. You are listening to Juno Afternoon on community-supported KTOO 104.3, Juno 91.7, Juno Auk Bay, and online at KTOO.org. I'm Boston Christopher. Time for our monthly check-in for the first Friday and beyond with the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, and I am joined, as always... Well, maybe not as always,
not
but
as
mostly
always.
by Phil Hipshin, Executive Director over at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Are you also considered the Executive Director of the Juno Arts and Culture Center?
So the Arts and Culture Center is the building
okay.
that the Arts Council is in. So
I don't know if
But you manage the Arts and Culture Center.
Yes.
As part of...
Let's just say yes to your original question.
Because everybody's always, you know, it's the Jack and the Jack, right? Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a funny thing, but it does work. It's J-A-C-C or J-A-H-C. But really where you want to go is jahc.org. Because the Arts and Culture Center doesn't have its own website,
That was
I don't
a
think.
Wonderful pivot that you just accomplished there. Yes.
I did it. JAHC.org for all of the details on anything that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I also want to mention, I really love this, that on your... because you guys have groups that can do the poster runs. You people can pay a small fee for a poster run. You know all of the postering sites. It saves people from having to get in their car and do it. The Jack does it for you for a very reasonable price. But what's also cool is that on that postering page where you can apply, people can go and see all of the posters that you're putting up around town.
Yep. We try to get as much info out there as possible. So
If you don't want to go to Fred Meyer and look at the board, just go to the website and see all the different posters that are up flying around town and find out all the events that are going on. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it is First Friday. Of course, Folk Fest is on the brain for everybody, but there's still a First Friday.
Yeah, all of it snuck up on me this time. I don't know about you, but
it did. Everything is sneaking up on me.
I turned around on Monday and I was like, what? It's First Friday? Wait, what? It's Folk Fest next week, too?
I think it was last week I was thinking that Folk Fest was like, I don't know, like 3-4 weeks away.
Right?
And I was like, oh, no, it's like... 10 days away, 2 weeks away. It's coming really fast.
Basically, it's tomorrow, basically.
Yeah,
it's pretty
much.
For all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
It's already happening.
Right.
There's a lot going on this month, as always. I'm following what I just said about being surprised. I'm always very pleasantly surprised at this annual exhibit we have coming up at the JACC in the gallery.
In the gallery.
It's time for our annual UAS student ceramics exhibit, which I love.
I love
every year.
Yeah.
It's really great to get in the gallery and see what they've been up to at UAS and their ceramics classes. There's always just such a wide range of stuff going on in terms of what they're making. And like, I started practicing ceramics a while ago, and every time I see their stuff, I'm just like, how do they make how do they make this stuff? It's so impressive. So that's definitely worth checking out. It's opening on First Friday. The opening reception is 4 to 7 p.m. in the Jack Gallery. So be sure to stop by. And I always try to pitch this. The lot in between the JACC and Centennial Hall is free parking for those of you who want to park there to start your evening off, check out the UAS student ceramic exhibit, and then hit all your other spots downtown on First Friday.
Is that stuff going to be available for sale as well?
Some of it is, some of it isn't.
Okay.
I can't tell you the percentage of which now, but there are always some that are just listed as not for sale.
Because I know a lot of stuff that goes in the gallery there, it's for sale by the artist, but this is student work, so they may be using it for other
things. Well, that's always at the discretion of the artist.
Right.
There could be a show where they aren't selling anything.
Yeah.
We'll still do that.
And it'll be up for the whole month?
It will be up for the whole month.
Great.
Another one I want to mention in the Davis Gallery, which is our gallery space in Centennial Hall, there will be a Alaska Folk Festival poster retrospective,
will
be really cool. And they will be selling prints of old posters.
Wow.
So for those collectors out there, you know I am a collector of many things. Definitely a spot to check out. That'll be open through all of Folk Fest too. So if you're through Centennial Hall, you'll have a chance to stop in and see that.
Oh, I'm sure, because that's where a lot of the people will be. And
exactly.
It is the 50th anniversary of the Folk Festival. So it's great to have the poster retrospective.
It's a really cool show that they put together.
Cool.
I don't even know. I bet they had to contact so many people to get like all those
to
old
find things. Them all. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know when we had our 50th last year, we were trying to figure out like where are some of the mugs that maybe
where
we
are
didn't
those
have,
mugs?
Where do we, you know?
Spoiler alert: they're all in my kitchen cabinet.
Phil's got them all. Okay. All right. What else is going on?
A couple other things I want to give shout outs to. Christine Kleinhens is reopening the Bears Lair in the Senate building, and she has some new work that she is going to be exhibiting in that space. The Bears Lair, I believe she bought that space. It's reopening. It's been closed for a minute, so I'm really excited whenever independent artists really take the reins on a new business and get going. So I'm sure there will be a lot of cool stuff to see in that space. That is opening on First Friday from 4:30 to 7 p.m. Great spot to check out.
Awesome.
We love Christine Kleinhens. If you're not familiar with her, she recently helped out at the Jack by designing the previous wearable art set. So if you attended Wearable Arts last year, everything you saw in that room, all of the paintings and all the backdrops and everything, she did that.
That's cool. Yeah, absolutely.
Very accomplished artist.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I saw another one in the advertising kind of sheet that we crank out this year that I'm very intrigued by. I don't know much about it, but at the Holy Trinity Sanctuary, from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. on First Friday, is a really interesting sounding exhibit by Paige Bridges, and all that it's described as is space art.
Ooh.
So
it's intriguing, though.
It's intriguing. And then there's also going to be a guided group chant and singing bowls by Luke Weld and Heather Mountcastle. So It sounds like they're putting together a really interesting, immersive experience.
Love that.
And I'm all about that.
Of course.
The weather's getting nice. We're entering new eras.
I did hear, though, that it's going to rain.
Next week.
He's like, shh, be quiet.
We're not putting that into the universe. It's going to be nice forever.
I didn't do it. It was not me.
See, Alaska Heritage Institute, as always, is doing their First Friday Native Artist Market, which I love checking out. If you're not familiar, it's in the Arts Campus in the plaza there, I believe inside the Walter Sobolev building as well. This month, they are going to have Helen Johns, Carolyn Trebian, Leilani Knight, and also a really cool exhibit by the Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, where they're going to be sharing cedar chips to the community and educating people about their dugout canoe by Wayne Price and the ceremony that they're going to have with burning those chips. I learned a lot about this last month. I was in Seattle at helping out at a shareholders meeting briefly, and I was talking with Nelka Kugay, the Gold Belt Heritage Foundation's executive director, and it was really cool, and I learned a lot. So I really recommend people stop by and learn about that, because it's a beautiful thing they're doing.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Devil's Club is having a printmaking show by Grace Kelly, 5 to 9 p.m. on First Friday is the opening. I'm learning more about printmaking. I don't know if you know a lot about it.
I don't.
It's one of the most intimidating things.
Yeah. It scares me whenever I do see people doing it.
There's a lot of local printmakers who just make amazing work, and our stress-free art night a couple weeks ago was focused on printmaking, and it's just, I can't even conceive of how they do it still.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me. So I'm always super impressed by that. She's an artist out of Ohio, it sounds like. And she has a lot of new block prints just highlighting spring in Southeast Alaska. And it sounds like a really great exhibit. So grab a drink, check out some art.
I love it. First Friday is still happening. Of course, you can get all the details at jahc.org. There's usually a First Friday button right on the homepage. But I also want you to quickly shout out gallery applications and scholarships and grant info.
Yes, we are openly recruiting for our gallery program. The deadline to submit your work is May 15th at 11:59 p.m. We do require a couple pieces of information, a resume, an exhibit proposal, some work samples, but that's for both the Davis and the Jack galleries for the exhibit season October 2025 through September 2026. So even if you're just thinking about it, I really encourage you to apply. As Boston said, all the information is on jahc.org under scholarships, or not scholarships, gallery stuff. The scholarships button, though, our scholarships and grants for youth scholarships and individual artist grants are due May 1st at 5 p.m. Our scholarships are open to students grade 7 through 12 and focus on $250 to $500 awards. They're merit-based, so you do have to audition, but those generally support ongoing education and artistic training. Music, dance, writing, drama, visual arts, technical. We've had some technical theater applications in the past.
Cool.
It's money that we want to give to kids practicing art, so apply to that. Encourage your young ones to apply to it. Our individual artist grants are $1,000 awards, and those are for more experienced artists who are continuing their work or proposing new projects in any creative discipline. Really, I think the only qualifier that needs to be said about that one is if you received it last year, you have to take a year off. So you can't receive that award 2 years in a row. But yeah, May 1st, 5 p.m. is the deadline. Be sure to check it out. Give us a call or send us an email if you have any questions.
All information over at jahc.org. Thanks, Phil, for being here.
Thank you, Boston.
I really appreciate it. And that's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. I also wanted to shout out a couple of comments that came in on the Facebook page. Thanks, Deanna and Angel, for commenting on the show today. I really appreciate it. I just wanted to let you know that I did see those. On tomorrow's show, our Folkfest Week previews continue as we look ahead to what's in store at Devil's Club Brewing Company, plus a sneak peek at the Juno Ghostlight Theater Comedy Cabaret happening this weekend, and a Big Brothers Big Sister event, The Big Give. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunnath Cheesh!